I want to ask you to pray this prayer with me. Ephesians 6. This is my plea this morning. As for me, Lord, I pray that words would be given me in opening my mouth to proclaim the mystery of your gospel, and that I may do it boldly as I ought to. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we still want every nation. It's part three. I'm still navigating this. I thought this would be the end. This is probably part three of part five. Last week I said we're going to be looking at Acts 15. We're going to be looking at Acts 15, so I didn't lie. We're just not going to finish Acts 15, so I want to encourage you to come back again, because we're going to stir some things this morning that you're going to need to hear the next part. Okay? Let's get into it. Before I get to Acts 15, I want to be in Acts 14. I think it's important to just get the lay of the land. If you read with me in Acts 14, I think I have this up. Yes. I did my slides last night after the running club year end, which was fantastic. And I just hope I have everything on there. When they had preached the gospel to that city, this is there in Derby, I don't know how to pronounce it, and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. This is what's going on. This is just, I just want to give the context of what happens in Acts 15. So this is Paul and Barnabas. Towards the end of their first mission. So they're going back to the churches. When they started the mission, they're going past these again. They went to Iconium and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Why I'm pointing this out, what we have here is the author is pointing us out to us. He's saying, listen, they went on a mission trip, but there was fruit that remained. Okay? They went on a mission trip to preach the gospel, and they came back around towards the end of that mission trip, and there was fruit that remained. So there was a church established, a community established, and so they then do a little bit more formalizing. They appoint elders, but this is the message here: is there's success in the kingdom here, right? There is something happening here that is good. And remember, this is in the Gentile world. Right, this is not in Jerusalem and Judea. This is happening in basically Galatia and around there. So we have this. It's revival. It's happening. It's sustainable. And they come back and they encourage these disciples. Listen, remember that as we said, continue in the faith. Hold on to what Jesus has done. Hold on to that. When we read about faith in the scriptures, it's generally a reference to what Christ has done. Faith, hope, and love. Faith is a reference to what Christ has done. Hope is what's set before us, and love is what we're supposed to be busy with while we're waiting. Okay? So faith, here he says, continue in the faith in what Christ has done, saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. This is what they're encouraging them with. And we spoke last week about the gospel going to the Gentiles, and this is what's happening here. And then we get, that's the intro. And they return from there to Antioch, where they were sent from, and that's where we find them. They're back at the church that they were sent from when they went on this mission trip, and then we pick this up. So in the context of successful gospel ministry, church planting, leaders being appointed, people being shepherded, revival happening, there's fruit that remains, we come across Acts 15. But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. You know what hit me when I was just meditating on these scriptures? This word, they came down from Judea. I'm hesitant to build a theology on this because there's nothing in the Greek. But isn't this often our experience? There's something happening. And someone comes and they come down to your level with what you should be doing. Right, we have a successful gospel ministry taking place in these churches in Antioch. And people come down to say, no. If you want to be saved, you must actually be circumcised according to the custom of Moses. Troubling. We'll read further. And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension, the scriptures are so polite. Right? Or had no small dissension and debate with them. Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem. Right? There's this idea of coming down and coming up, right? I don't think I'm far off there. To the apostles and the elders about this question. So it's an issue. They're not sure. They've been church planting. They've been preaching the gospel, and now suddenly there's this debate. Is what you're doing, is it actually right? But there's fruit that remains, and they're appointing leaders and elders, and there's stuff happening. And then we have this like, no. See, they preach to the churches, it's through many tribulations that you have to enter the kingdom of God. These guys think they know what the tribulations are. It's not. There's a conformity that you are under pressure. You are under pressure to conform to the world. It's a tribulation. We unpacked that a few weeks ago. You can go listen to that. It's the first sermon on every nation. So here we find Paul and Barnabas. I'm going on a journey through this Acts 15. Just hold on, okay? We're going to just walk through so we can live ourselves into this. So, being sent on their way by the church, this is now Paul and Barnabas, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria. That's sort of like on the edge of Israel, if I can put it that way. Samaria and Phoenicia, it's still in the geography of Israel. So they're on their way to Jerusalem, but on their way they pop in at the various guys that had dispersed because of the persecution that followed the stoning of Stephen. So they come to these churches through Phoenicia and Samaria, and then they describe in detail the conversion of the Gentiles and brought great joy to all the brothers. I think this is something we should take note of. They're sharing the fruit that's remaining. They're sharing what's happened. There's load shedding started. There was the flicker. They're sharing about the fruit that's remained in these churches that the way people have responded to the gospel. And it's interesting for me, the believers, the brethren that are, they're in Israel, but they were dispersed already. To them, this is joyful news. They rejoice. This is what it says here. Says great joy. Once again, the scriptures are very nice and polite. Great joy. I think it was a celebration. But then we read verse 4. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all that God had done with them. And then there's no joy. You see, often when we continuously surround ourselves, what we have in Jerusalem is the people that didn't leave, and they continue to surround themselves with only people like themselves. Okay? So it makes sense to me that those who were in Phoenicia and Samaria, they have engagements with Gentiles more. So to them it's like amazing news. But in Jerusalem we have a closed circle. And so in this closed circle we don't have joy when this is reported, we have the following. It says, but some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, it is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses. Now, I want to be generous here. the scripture says, but some believers who belong to the party of the Pharisees. So these guys are credited with being believers, okay? And so sometimes when someone does come down on you with something, let's go from the point of departure. Yes, they are actually believers, even if they're trying to make their revelation your burden. Okay? So, but here, they are credited as being believers, and this is an issue for them. This is very important to them. They said it is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses. Why are we talking about this? Why are we talking about this? Because if we are going to preach the gospel to every nation, we need to understand where God, who is over culture, who is over the culture of Jews and Gentiles, where he comes in, where he confronts and encourages, where he says this is a good thing in this culture, and where he says this is something he confronts in culture. And this is why we're navigating these things, why we're looking at this. Because the question is, how Jewish must we be? Right? This is what we're looking at. Verse 6, just walking through this. You can see this is not a light matter. The apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. I just want to pause here. So we know after 6 years after Pentecost, Peter preached the gospel to the Gentiles. This is 11 years later. Okay? So time has gone by, and there is this question about what does this look like? What should it look like? And it's very important, and we see here, they are gathered together to consider this matter. And I'm very grateful they did. And after there had been much debate, very nice, much debate, Peter stood up. Now, I want to throw something out here, just in my research and reading. It seems that the letter Galatians was probably written before this happened. For long, the theory was that it was written after, and that what he refers to there is actually what's happening in Acts 15. But it actually makes more sense that he wrote that letter probably after the visit, because he had already had that encounter with Peter in Galatians 2, it seems. So that's why we have Peter here. It makes sense to me. You don't have to build your salvation on it, right? But it fits here that when Paul and Barnabas are present, and this issue is being considered, and Peter had a little bit of a moment with Paul, is what we read about in Galatians 2, that Peter feels strengthened. He's been on this rodeo, so he stands up, right? He doesn't want Paul to say something again about him. Anyway, it's interesting to me, it makes sense. Peter stands up. Peter stood up and said to them, Brothers, you know that in the early days, God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. He's giving his testimony. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Amazing. Amazing. He stands up and he reminds, he's preaching the gospel to the present company, and he reminds them. When did the Gentiles receive the Holy Spirit? It was when they believed. Who is the Holy Spirit? Well, he's the seal. Previously, you were a part, when you went through the proselyte process, you want to become Jewish. That was the sign. Now, he says, when they believed, they received. Remember, before he could even say anything, the Holy Spirit was poured out on those who believed. And then he responds, okay, now we need to baptize these people in line with their confession, right? That's what we looked at last week. Ephesians 1, verse 13 to 14, in him also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Not the good news of what Jesus has done. And believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. So Peter is just laying again the foundation, reminding them, what is it that actually seals us? Right? He's just coming back to that. Where was it? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit is the sign of your salvation. And he continues. Now therefore, okay, let's just park here. Having cleansed their hearts by faith. We talked about the clean and the unclean last week. It's just a reminder again. He says, God cleansed their hearts by faith. They put their faith in who Christ is, what he has done, what he lived, what he died, the exchange that took place on the cross. They put their faith in that. They heard the message of the gospel. They put their faith in that. And their hearts are clean. And therefore they can receive the Holy Spirit. And they do immediately receive the Holy Spirit. And there is a sign for them and for Peter present and those who were with him. They have been saved. And here goes Peter. And he says, now therefore, why are you putting God to the test? We know in Exodus, and I want to put it up here. I think I've got Exodus 17. Yeah. So when they had gone through the Red Sea, the Israelites, and they get to this place where they're thirsty, and there's a, it's much like this situation. There's a big debate. And there's this charge against Moses, and they're like, you've come to just make us die of thirst in the wilderness. And then we read, God then says, no, take the elders and come out and come to the rock and strike the rock and the water will come out. And it's this living water idea. Right. So Peter, in saying, why do you test God? He's holding on to you, saying, remember what happened at the rock. God has poured out living water. The Holy Spirit has been poured out onto these people, into the Gentiles. Why are you testing God with this? Right? Why are you testing God with this? Because he said, Moses, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the quarreling of the people. There was just a bunch of quarreling happening, Acts 15. And because they tested the Lord by saying, is the Lord among us or not? What is the sign that the Lord is among us? It's the presence of the Holy Spirit. Is the Lord among us or not? Do not test God, is what Peter is saying here. They have received the Holy Spirit. The way you make sure is to find out, have you received the Holy Spirit? Not have you received the snip? Okay? He has circumcised their hearts by faith. Is the Lord among us or not? Isn't that sometimes a message that comes when someone comes down on you? You know, you're just trying to follow Jesus and then they come down on you. Well, I don't think you have the Lord if you don't do this. Do not test the Lord. And he says, why do you test him? By placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear. What does a yoke do? A yoke ties you to someone else that is stronger than you to make sure that you go in their direction. Do we come and we yoke people? They must go in my direction. Otherwise, they do not believe. Otherwise, they are not saved. Unless you go in my direction, you are not saved. No, unless you have the Holy Spirit, unless you've repented, unless you have put your faith in what Christ has done, and then you receive the Holy Spirit, that's your sign. But what we do, we try and put a yoke on the neck of the disciples. And here's the clincher. He says, but we believe, he's reminding those present, we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus just as they will. We know in Ephesians, we read, by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Because you put your faith in what Christ has done, God had no obligation to extend grace. Right? No obligation. But he loves us dearly. So, and he is justified in extending grace because of the work, the massive work that the crucifixion of Christ is and the resurrection, what it is. So valuable. He's justified in extending it by grace. What does he extend to us? Righteousness. You can read in Romans 5. The free gift. When we believe, we put our faith in what Christ has done, God by his grace extends Christ's righteousness to us. It's done. It's what you receive. His record, his standing before the Father. And Peter understands this, maybe again, after having previously had a little talk to by Paul. But he says, but we believe that we, he's talking to the Jews present, will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus just as they will. And then I just put the first part of verse 12 there. We'll carry on with Acts 15 again, but I find it fascinating. Peter testifies and preaches the gospel and is referring to scripture in the process, and it says, and all the assembly fell silent. Stoop still. Klaar gepraat. Right. Now, how do we know that we have the Holy Spirit? How do we know? I'm going to put it to you in Romans 8. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry. That's all, Jew, Gentile, all who put our faith in Christ. Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. When you put your faith in what Christ has done, ask to receive the Holy Spirit, and the sign is, the Spirit says, God is now your Father. You have been adopted. You did not receive the spirit of slavery again to fear. We receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry as a community, Father. That's the sign for me. That's the sign. What follows? Gifts, all these things. Love it. Love it. For your identity is not son and daughter of God the Father. That's what we need. That's what we come back to. So why am I talking about this? I know we are not sitting in a community that has this challenge with circumcision, I hope. Okay? Look, I know. I'm going to be generous here. I know there are movements that celebrate a little too much about Jewish culture. I make an observation here. Okay, and I'm not... There's value in every culture, something to be redeemed in every culture. And there's something to be confronted in every culture. Jesus is Lord over culture. Okay? So there's a little bit of an unhealthy thing for me where we raise Jewish culture onto a level that it doesn't have. if the true Israelite, the one, was known as associating with the tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners who believed in him, then there's surely something wrong in that culture he was in. Right? So we need to have a healthy view of these things. Because what we have done and in the West, what we do is when we send people on missions, we send them to go and take a Western culture as the gospel. It's a disaster. Yes, there are things in every culture to celebrate. There are things to confront. But we must be careful not to call things that Paul calls rubbish in Philippians 3 treasure. And you say to me, no, I don't have that challenge. I want to. Are you comfortable? No? Okay, if you're uncomfortable, it's going to be a little bit more uncomfortable in a minute. Because I know we don't struggle with, I believe, in this church, with circumcision. I want to read something for you. I want to read a poem. I don't know the author. It's in my one study Bible. I didn't get to check. So I didn't make this up. It's someone else's work. But listen to this. Believe as I believe, no more, no less, that I am right and no one else. Confess. Feel as I feel. Think only as I think. Eat what I eat and drink what I drink. Look as I look, do always as I do, then and only then will I fellowship with you. Does that sound like a yoke? Sounds like a yoke to me. Okay, I don't think you guys are uncomfortable enough. Here we go. Things that have been added to the gospel over the years and have caused, and here I want to be generous again. Look, you have a personal relationship with God, okay? And there are things that edify. This is true. There are things that do not edify. This is also true. I err on the side of edification. Okay, if I have a choice, I'm going to go for what I believe edifies. But then there are things where there is liberty. You've got a conviction in a certain area, a personal revelation on what edifies. And when our personal revelation of what edifies becomes a barrier to the gospel, you have a problem. You are standing in the way of God. You are standing, you are testing God. Okay? So, let's look at some things that have over the years. Remember to come in 2 weeks' time. Please. Or at least commit to listen to the audio. Okay? All right. The theater. And I can add you, Netflix. Or the movies. Once again, I believe there are things that edify and things that don't. Cosmetics. Alcohol. Tobacco. Card playing. Dancing. Fashion. Bible translation used. It's not my list. This one breaks me. I'm a teacher, okay? I like certain translations. I don't like certain things that call themselves translations that are not. Bible translation used. Sports. Does any of this resonate with you, maybe? Does it sound like a yoke you've used? Maybe. Music. What kind of music? And then here's this one. Material wealth. I know what you should do with your money. Just don't tell me what to do with mine. Why are we talking about this? These are the kinds of things that we add to the gospel. And yes, we are on a journey of sanctification. And each one of you has a relationship with the Father, and He speaks to you. That thing in my life, I didn't have an issue with alcohol, but in my life, God said to me at a stage just a few years ago, He said, "You just don't work well with it. You can choose. Have the presence of the Holy Spirit or have alcohol." So for me, that's my personal revelation. It's not your burden. Tobacco. I used to smoke. You know, we make these pet. I was talking to the boys on Friday here at the school, and they asked me, "Is it sin to do this or is it sin to do that?" And I said, no, remember, you got to give an account for your body to God. I think there are things that are better to do, and there are things that are not so good to do. But here's the thing. We pick something that we don't do, and then we call that sin. This week, I bought a packet of cigarettes for the sake of the gospel. Context. I don't know. Let it offend you. No, I'm not going to give context. Let it offend you. I think we're going to land it there. Come in 2 weeks if you want to hear the rest. Acts 15, verse 11 to 12. Oh, wait, no, there was something I wanted to say. Yesterday, I was sitting on the beach, took my boy for a swim. And I want you to hear my heart here. The thing is not that we don't have a relationship with God where He speaks to us about specific things. We're talking about the gospel. What is the gospel? When we want to take the gospel to the nations, in our community, what do we give? Do we give the gospel of what Christ has done, or do we give our yoke? So yesterday, I'm a surfer. I think I still relate as a surfer. I think you have to surf to do that. But anyway, I was on the beach yesterday, and I spent a lot of time obsessing about surfing in the past and just getting all that, this fin works this way and this stuff. And that's beautiful. It's like our Bible translations are like, I like this one, and it speaks to me, and it's great. And then, like, I have a great time with the Lord in the scriptures. And so surfing, we have these things, like, you can really specialize in stuff. But the problem is, the more we get to so specialize in things, we forget the simplicity of the gospel. Right? And so there was this guy, he surfs way better than me, and it always used to bother me. He would catch a wave, and I'm like, in surfing, we talk about that someone rips, then they're good. Right? That guy rips. And this guy rips. Except, like, every time he paddles back, it's just swear words. That, how bad that wave was. And I'm thinking, I've never even surfed a wave like that. So there's no joy. It's a little bit like that guy, the guys in Jerusalem. They hear what God's been doing to the Gentiles. We're the Gentiles. There's no joy. No, but they don't have the right fins to rip. So yesterday I was sitting on the beach, and there was this kid with a dad with a boogie board. And they got it. Like, they caught these little waves. And they got it. And I have this picture that I found. It's also going to offend people. This kid gets it. Right? He's the best surfer in the water because he's got the joy of the gospel. Yes, I'm aware there are peace signs on his bodyboard. Right? Sanctification's a process. Yeah, blame Crazy Store. When we lose our wonder, we lose our wonder. It's what we need to come back to. The presence of the Holy Spirit, that we cry, Abba, Father, together. It's what we're called as a community to do. That's the message. When someone responds to the gospel, that's what you're invited to. Your new identity as a son and daughter. Come catch a few waves. We'll figure out the boogie board later. Okay? In relationship, maybe we'll do a spray paint or whatever. But let's get the joy. I want to challenge you. Just take a moment just to think of all the good things you did this week. Can you quickly do that? The good things. loved my wife, played with my kids, read the Bible, prayed for people, shared the gospel. Are you making a list? Cool. Have you got something? Okay, something good. You stopped at the stop street. Okay. God did not save us so that those things can now save us. God did not save us so that those things can now save us. Our obedience is just his love language. Christ says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. The things we've done this week, if you isolate them and take them and you put them before God, they are not sufficient for righteousness. They are still not sufficient on their own without the other stuff you did this week. God saves sinners. Right? And that's why Peter ends. But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will. And let that make you fall silent. Will you stand with me? I want to give an opportunity, just as we, in this moment of silence, you know the yokes that you've put. And maybe you have been yoked to a gospel that is not about what Christ has done. This is an invitation this morning to walk away from that and to put your faith in what Christ has done. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. As you are in this moment, just close our eyes. Father, we come. And maybe we're uncomfortable. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come and comfort as we let go of these things and we hold on to that which is eternal. As we turn from the yokes we've placed on ourselves and we placed on others. Lord, would you come? Holy Spirit, would you come and comfort us and speak to our spirits and say, cry out, Abba, Father. Father, we thank you that you still save. You save yesterday, you save today, and you save tomorrow. You are still saving. And we can just come back again and know that this gospel is good news to the nations as much as it is to us. And would you give us eyes to see where we are placing burdens on people? And would you forgive us, Father? Please forgive us where we have done so. And that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have a need to pray with someone, you're welcome to come to the front. The small group leaders will be in the front to minister to you, to pray with you. You're also welcome to turn to the person next to you. Remember to come back in 2 weeks at least, or just get the audio. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name. Amen.